Good morning, everyone. My name is Lucinda, and I'm going to be reading the Bible for us this morning. The reading today is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 to 21. But before we go ahead and do the reading, I'd like you to join me in prayer. Loving God, thank you for your word and for the chance to gather together today. As we hear your word today, remind us of what you've done for us through Jesus, that because of him, nothing stands between us and you anymore. Help us to live as people who reflect your love. As this passage reminds us, show us how we can be ambassadors for Christ, sharing your message of hope with the people around us. Help us to understand what we hear this morning and to live out the message in our lives each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. I'm Brandon. I'm the ministry apprentice here. I appreciate some of you might not have recognized me because, you know, you're sort of being a little bit bamboozled by the Superman effect. It is a bit ridiculous, isn't it? Suddenly he puts on some glasses and no one can recognize him. As for me, the story of the glasses is a much less heroic story. I'm getting older. My body's reminding me of that. And it's curious, isn't it? Because the world hasn't changed, but actually my ability to see it has. You might not even realize your eyesight's poor until someone places the correct lens, the right prescription in front of your eyes, and suddenly everything's in focus again. I think that's a helpful metaphor or a way to think about the Christian life too. The Bible does constantly use language of sight and seeing. It speaks of both, people who are blind and people who have had their eyes opened because of Christ. And today we are looking at the mission, our mission as a church. And let's read it. Our mission is to make Christ-like disciples in Southeast Brisbane and beyond. Now, as James pointed out before, we're going to actually be zooming in and focusing on the Southeast Brisbane part. And next week, we'll be looking at beyond. I actually feel like many of us are on board with the idea of making Christ-like disciples. That's generally the vibe I get. But I do want to ask you a couple of questions today. Do you think you're seeing the mission clearly? And do you think you see your part to play in it clearly? If you're like me, I'm prone to thinking to myself, I can't really share my Christian view in a particular situation. Someone's going to think I'm crazy. Or, man, telling them that there's a better way to live, that's just going to anger them. Maybe for you, it's actually not about fear of what the other person might think, but it's more of a practical concern. I'm flat out just getting food on the dinner for my own family. How am I supposed to be able to incorporate people into the mix as well? Well, I think the Word of God has something to say this morning. In fact, I know it does. And kids, do any of you play sports or even video games? One of the examples I'm going to give today, I promise, will make you a better player. But adults, don't tune out. This is going to be like a parable, okay? And if you have the eyes to see it, I think it will help us all with understanding mission today. But first, I want to make it crystal clear that to have a good view of missions, we need to personally see Christ. That's the starting point. Only then do we get to sort of think about what is the mission that He has given us, and then we can think through what our part to play is. I do also appreciate, if you're not a Christian here today, slightly odd message for you. You're sort of coming in on almost like a locker room discussion with a coach. But I do want you to observe, actually, the passion that we have and how much value we place on Jesus Christ. So at the very least, this first point is for all of us. We all of us need to see Christ. The Bible cannot make it clearer that seeing Christ is of vital importance. I mean, it's even assumed in the mission, right? To make Christ-like disciples probably necessarily means seeing Christ. So we cannot afford to be blind in this area. Paul himself, he says this in 2 Corinthians 4, that the minds of the believers were blinded by the darkness of the age. That's sort of a false view of God. They cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For God made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We have to come to the conclusion that before Christ, we were blind. And Christ is how we're seeing the world. That means when we think about mission, we're not just trying to convince people to merely adopt a different set of habits, a different lifestyle, or even some slightly different values. We are introducing people to the only one who can open the blind eyes. Something I'm learning more in real time, clearly, with my physical vision, is that the more we understand how blind we once were, the more we appreciate the gift of seeing. Because I understand how transformative my glasses can be, I'm also more motivated to tell other people to get their eyes checked too. In the same way, a Christian who understands the greatness of the rescue, I think we should naturally desire to share that with other people. Jumping forward a few verses here. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yes, amen, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. When we see Christ, we gain a new way of seeing the world. And the way that Christ wants us to see the world is one of mission. There's no ambiguity here. Christ has given us a mission, and I think we only need to see it. An amazing truth of the Christian life is that God does not merely rescue us and then leave us sitting on the sidelines. In fact, in chapter 5 here, we read, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. In his wisdom, God has decided to include us in the process, ordinary people as though we are. And the statement there, I think, is wow. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Ambassador, not necessarily a term we use. It's probably more associated with kings or queens or even diplomats. But what do you make of this recent example? I think this helps ground it. As usual, Japan made waves during the World Cup because they're so quick to clean up their own seating, their own locker rooms. And in a sense, I would want to make an argument that they are being ambassadors of their culture, not in a formal diplomatic sense, but in everyday simple ways. They are showing that their own actions represent their cultural values. They value a cleanliness and orderliness. They value not being an imposition on other people. We are all forced to see that in them too, aren't we? We're forced to see that their culture is different to our own, for better or worse. And sometimes I think we can treat our mission as a sort of optional extra in the Christian life. You know, we might think that's for the pastors, that's for the missionaries, that's for the super extroverts. But I think when we understand the gospel properly, that attitude actually just begins to disappear. The question then is not whether God has given us a mission. The question becomes, so how is it that Christ himself sees the world? And let's look at his words in Matthew 9. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus saw people who were in desperate need of a shepherd, and his heart was moved with compassion. And who are the people around us today that we've potentially stopped seeing? Is the neighbor we walk past every day a sheep without a shepherd? The coworker who jokes because they're hiding a pain? They're a sheep without a shepherd who we should show compassion with. Even a family member who seems like they have everything together but does not know Christ. Surely that's also a sheep without a shepherd. Maybe one of the greatest prayers we can pray is this. Lord, open my eyes. Please send workers. And if I'm the worker that you've put right here and now, then send me. This needs to be the lens we look through our entire life. So as we begin to see Christ clearly and we see that he has a mission for us, there is a natural question we're all going to ask. What is my part to play? Now, kids, remember I did tell you I've got a tip for making you a better player. And here is my secret for you today. Learn to be a good teammate. Adults, remember this is a parable, okay? If you have eyes to see it, it's there for you. Kids, in any complex team game, any sport, the worst thing that can happen is when everyone thinks that they know the best strategy. Everyone argues about what it is, and then each person runs off doing their own thing. It doesn't matter at that point how talented the individual players are if you're all moving in different directions. Now, kids, I promise you, a whole team united doing a worse strategy will actually be superior. They're united. You might have heard people make statements like this during the World Cup. A champion team is more effective than a team of champions. So in this case, we need to think less about our own strategy and capabilities and lean into the team in one sense. You might think you're a superstar, kids, but if you try to do it without a team, I think you'll end up being the biggest fool on the team. Some advice for you. But the same is required for our attitude towards mission as a church. Romans 12 puts it this way: by grace, by the grace given, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We do need to have a sober judgment in the way that we reflect on ourselves. And I think that means you need to have a clear vision of who actually God has made you. Romans continues, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all do the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Church is much the same, right? At Living Church, we have a particular view of mission and how we go about it. And sometimes we need to stop and remember that we're all on the same team. One of the ways we're moving forward in our mission as a church is through launching Discover this year. And the stories from Discover have been fantastic, utterly fantastic. And Discover serves as a really good example of how important understanding our role is. I was delighted to hear that someone had brought a friend along, and what really made the difference was actually that someone else, one of our church members, came and sat with them week after week for the 5 weeks. And this person didn't know that friend at all. But it was another person to chat and be friendly, and it became clear that that person actually enabled the conversation to go deeper than it would have otherwise. We should be seeing that as a valuable role to be played, and that is critical to our mission. Back to Romans 12. We have different gifts. So according to the grace given to each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, encourage. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do that cheerfully. The generosity to get Discover off the ground was so important. The hospitality of the caterers and the people willing to be a friendly face. I'm hoping we can all see that's important. So I really hope I've made a strong case so far that it's critical to mission that we first need to see the work of Christ that he has done, that to make Christ-like disciples without the Christ-like part, that's a level of nonsense, I think. And we need to see that we've been given a mission by Christ himself. And we need to see that the church mission is only possible when people are all able to get on board and play our part. But what does that practically look like? I think a simple start is to be intentional to let others see Christ in you. If we're Christians who ourselves are trying to be Christ-like, then a part of this means that all we need to do is then be that Christ-like self. Kids, I actually have another really cool tip for you today. My son Harrison, he's 6 years old. Hey, buddy. Now, I'm so proud of this kid, actually. He is so kind and he is so calm. But something I've been trying to teach him recently is that when people come over for growth group or they come over for dinner, he can actually just act himself. He's a great kid, and I think any sort of act that he puts on ends up being inferior to what it would have been if he was just his beautiful self. I think many of us worry that we can't show our identity as Christians. Maybe you start to get shy and you want to hide, or you feel intimidated and you want to put on an act, or you get defensive and start overcompensating. But sometimes when we mention our faith, don't we, there's a little bit of a, yeah, I was at church. But it's actually the same advice I'd give everyone today.
that I just gave Harrison. Or just be your normal, loving Christian self. Because it's beautiful. We can speak about our Christian life with the same naturalness that we speak about anything else that we love. Yeah, Joe, morning's going great. Sunday was fantastic. I got to get together with my friends, and what a beautiful refreshment it was just to set my week and energize me to now grind it out in the office again. I think we can show in all of our words and our actions a level of joy, kindness, humility, compassion, and it should cause other people to think, what makes us different? I really also love that one of our mission partners last week, Danae, she came and she spoke to us. One of her tips, actually, it's profound but also really simple, is just let people know that you're a Christian. Matthew 5 says this, and we need to believe this. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our lives are a window through which we can catch a glimpse of Jesus himself. We don't need to put on a weird act. And guess what? We also don't need to be consumed by a crippling fear. I think one of the greatest barriers to mission is fear. And God is saying today as well, you do not need to let fear blind you. Yeah, whether it's fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of being rejected, fear of being thought strange, or fear of losing something like a level of comfort or security. But when the first followers of Jesus looked out at the world, they saw something greater than their fears. They saw a risen and powerful Savior who was worth speaking about, no matter the cost. I mean, let's read Acts chapter 4 here. When the Pharisees, that's the Jewish leaders, they saw the courage of Peter and John. They saw the courage and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Did you catch that? I mean, they're just ordinary people. What made them extraordinary was the fact that they'd been with Jesus and were living it out. It got observed. And of course, to point out that they were courageous means that fear was present. And that's okay, but it didn't blind them. I was chatting with a team recently that went on a 2-week short-term mission trip. One of the big takeaways they had when they came back and they were sharing their stories with me is that they were afraid at many points. Different culture, different assumptions about spirituality. And it's okay, I think, for them to admit that they were scared. And they actually developed within their 2 weeks, the team that they had, they developed a phrase that they say to one another. Well, it was a variation on a popular one. You'll recognize it. Just do it. But they modified it by saying, just do it scared. It's okay. And that's often what courage looks like, isn't it? It's the willingness to take the next step forward, whether you have cool shoes or not. Courage is choosing to trust God while the fear is present. And trusting God is easier when we can see the way God sees the world. And that's the next thing we need to capture this morning. I'll make this quick. We need to see the world the way God sees it. And I think often what stops us seeing the world the way God sees it is our own busyness. I think our schedules can become full. Our calendars become crowded. Maybe we tell ourselves, yes, I'll think about mission once life slows down or it's more settled. But I'm wondering if we need to start praying this. God, help me to see your mission not as an interruption to my schedule, but that my schedule is an interruption to your mission. If your schedule is indeed an interruption, then I hope you can see that the eternal mission that Christ has given us outweighs whatever positives you were gaining in that busyness. Everything in life needs to be seen through the lens of an eternal mission. Sometimes we do need to reevaluate our schedules and we might need to make changes. That's true. But I think sometimes the answer is that we need to just alter the way we see the things that we're already doing. You know, if your children play soccer, this is not just an activity to get through. But actually, you can choose to see that there is a community of people that God has placed around you. Parents are standing there on the sidelines. They need friendship, they need kindness, and they need the hope of Christ. They might not know it, but they do. If you serve morning tea at church, are you just making sandwiches and washing cups? No. What are we doing? We're helping create a place where someone might experience the love and welcome of God's family here. And when you bring a friend to church, don't you hope that they'll be warmly greeted and catered for, right? Because you want them to see the Christian love that we have. This also means we can't just approach church as a sort of routine. We have to see that everyone walks in this door, that's someone else's friend. Someone's praying for them that they'll encounter God today. So often mission, you know, it's not about, actually, I need to add another task to make room for it. Actually, it's about, I just need to put on the right glasses and I need to see that the life I have has opportunities. The life I have involves a mission. I just need to have the eyes to see it. Please join me in praying. God, thank you that your light has opened our eyes to see. Thank you for the community of people that we have here, where we can come and be refreshed. God, help us to fix our eyes on you, not being so short-sighted and overvaluing some of the things right in front of us. But we can fix our eyes on you. We pray also and ask that you can work through us, as ordinary as we may be. We understand that we don't have the power to save people too, but you delight in using us as your ambassadors anyway. So help us not to compare ourselves to others, but help us to see that we are all a part of the one body here. I pray that all of us will see clearly why we are doing the things we are doing. And God, open our eyes to see that as a church, we are united. We're all praying together right now. We're all hoping, we're all seeking the mission that you have given us. And we all say as one church, amen.